no, Robert, you know what that is?
What alarm is that, Griffin? Tell me what alarm is that.
That is the, we got some emergency Jedi Rocks news.
Oh no. Is that alarm going off when, like, they're...
No, it's actually, it's almost like there have been several alarms going off over the past week, and we haven't even had the time to address one of them.
Putting them on snooze.
So, Robert, we are doing this, this on-the-spot emergency news-only rocks here.
Yes.
To talk about something very important, and that is that Emperor Kennedy has struck again.
It's literally...
And she has ousted Colin Trevorrow from Star Wars Episode 9. The guy who did such classics as...
Book of Henry?
Jurassic World?
That other thing? What was it called?
That's right, folks. Now joining the ranks of Phil Lord and Chris Miller is poor old Colin Trevorrow. He is, you know, he's a part of the ragtag team now. He's a part of what's, I think going to end up being called Gareth and the Gang. Because this really all goes back to Gareth. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into this whole mess that has started since Disney's purchase of the Star Wars property and the Lucasfilm brand in a little bit. But first, we need to talk about, yes, Colin Trevorrow is out. But today, Robert, today, we were planning on recording today regardless. We were like, we need to talk about who is replacing Colin Trevorrow, and we need to, you know, make some speculation and such.
Prediction.
Who's coming back? It's none other than our boy, J.J. Abrams. He's back, baby. J.J. Abrams is directing Star Wars Episode 9, and he is also co-writing it with Oscar winner Chris Terrio. You can kind of imagine that Episode 9 is starting fresh, pretty much starting fresh. And that sounds great, because remember at one point they had the guy... who wrote Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is...
He came in a couple weeks before this happened.
Yes.
I've never seen a Harry Potter movie, let alone read the books.
Robert, and... I am a very big Harry Potter fan, of both the movies and the books, and Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, let me tell you, Robert, it is possibly one of the worst things I've read. And that story was just the worst, and that dialogue was cringeworthy, and it pretty much read like fan fiction. You know, like Rogue One.
Ooh. Yeah, we missed an episode shitting on Rogue One.
Are you excited that JJ is back for Episode 9?
Gosh, when I told you, which I want to talk about my original pick, I originally thought they were going to go with Kathryn Bigelow, because there was a lot of rumblings that they would pick a woman. And I thought, if I had to guess what Kathleen Kennedy was going to do, I would pick her. And I assumed J.J. Abrams would just be so sick of this that he wouldn't come back. I'm surprised that he actually came back. And then I was like, I guess if it was up to me in the Lucasfilm spot, I would pick Patty Jenkins as my safe person. Obviously, me personally, if it was just a random person on the street got to pick the director, I would pick Guillermo del Toro because he'd make an interesting film. but I think... It's Patty Jenkins got signed on to make Wonder Woman like 4 minutes after I told you that prediction. Wonder Woman 2, I mean.
That actually came out, I think, yesterday, I think.
Yeah, well, it was like 4 minutes after I told you yesterday. I was like, I just want to make sure you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't matter because she got picked anyway. But J.J. Abrams is, I mean, gosh. Could it? I have literally no idea. I don't know. I didn't actually dislike Force Awakens as much as most people. I haven't rewatched it in 2 years, though. So I don't know how I feel. I haven't watched it since it was in the theaters.
Our review for it is coming up later this fall, Robert. So look forward to that, folks.
Boy.
Robert, I enjoy Force Awakens quite a bit.
I enjoy aspects.
And yeah, and I think now that JJ has done his setting, his like almost obligatory setting up, you know, Robert, our episode 7, Jedi Rocks episode 7 is called... the obligatory installment, and that is a nod to Star Wars The Force Awakens, which very much feels like
this. Is that really? I didn't know this.
Yes, yes. That is something I did because I feel like, I think Force Awakens is a well-made film, but there are so many aspects about it that are clearly, okay, you need to set up all of our movies that are going to come after this.
Yes. The tone, and you need to remind people what Star Wars is.
Remember Star Wars?
People blame J.J. Abrams way too much for how that film was a copy-paste when it was just the studio decided it was going to be that. And he,
oh, yeah, the studio was like, you need to make it Star Wars. And people and were like, so,
ripped off A New Hope. It was like, well, yes, Kathleen Kennedy said, please make it almost exactly like A New Hope.
We have Abrams and Terrio are the chief creative people here, at least in name only. Obviously, they needed, for some reason, I was like, we might not hear who the new director is until after episode 8. But then I was like, oh, wait, Disney can't just hold their fucking horses. And this movie is supposed to be out in like a year and a half. And that's,
it's only been like a week.
I know. That's like, it blew me away how fast this came out. Listen, I think JJ is, I think, the smartest choice. The smartest choice in that...
The smartest from a Kathleen Kennedy perspective.
No, I think the smartest that we're going to get, because he's going to, I think, cause the least amount of friction with the studio, but yeah, also maintain at least a little bit of integrity. He has a bit of a backbone, at least. We see a little bit of that come through with the production of episode 7.
He does. There is, like, some production things that happened along the way that he was there. I mean, originally, it was going to come out in May of 2015, and he pushed
it back. And on that note, they have also announced that they've pushed the release date back from May 2019 to December 2019, which was completely expected, and thank God.
Yeah, that's generally what has happened every single time. The only one that's kept that was, the only one that's kept their release date, I think, was Rogue One. Rogue One was always going to come out that December, I think.
Rogue One and Han Solo.
Han Solo's kept it, but I mean,
which is beyond me.
Don't do this to yourselves.
I don't know.
But yeah, what do you think old Colin Trevorrow was ousted?
Why was Colin ousted? I think
obviously Book of Henry, his directed film, written project.
Yep.
Failed horribly, and it was one of the most embarrassing things to ever happen to a person. It has like a worse meta score than like the Emoji Movie.
Holy shit.
I think it was mostly due to Book of Henry.
They've realized, oh,
Kathy looked at that and was like, why did I just pick this guy?
I completely agree. I don't think that is what shook her. I think what shook her is the fact that they've gone through multiple rewrites of this script and they have to start filming in about, you know, probably 6-7 months, maybe next spring, I think, is when it's supposed to start. And so they need a fucking script. They need to get shit going. They need pre-production now. When they went to Colin and he's like, I still don't really fucking have anything. Or maybe he was like, here's what I've got. And they were like, this is awful. Even Lucasfilm was like, this is so bad.
I agree, but also I have to imagine he couldn't have legitimately put that much work into it, considering, like, there's no outline. Mm-hmm. That's something that Rian Johnson has kind of spoke on, is that there's really no outline for 8 or 9, just a handful of loose ideas that are kept on a piece of loose leaf paper. Because he's been working on Book of Henry, which for what I assume, probably a year. And he was probably thinking he was going to get a bunch of awards from it, because it seems like award bait when you read the description. The timeline doesn't really line up for him to have gotten a lot of work done. And I feel like there's maybe like 2 or 3 months of work, and I feel like that's pretty early to call it. Because if I was Kathleen Kennedy, I would be doing everything in my power to avoid getting rid of a fourth director, ultimately.
Yeah, and I think that's another reason why he got booted, is because they didn't want another Lord and Miller situation where they get X months into production and they're like, this isn't working. So this is the smart thing. This is something that they should have done with Han Solo, which is, hey, if you're in pre-production and things are already looking a little murky, that's when you just start over, just right there. Yeah. Not when you fucking 3 weeks out from being finished with the film. And so I think that is definitely a contributing factor. And I just want to pause for a second to realize that, you know, both Colin Trevorrow and J.J. Abrams are like Spielberg's sons. Like he's the both of them are like two directors, up and young upcoming directors that he like blessed, and they both tried to emulate. And I just really love that now, like, Book of Henry was the nail in the coffin for Colin Trevorrow, and then they handed it to his older brother, and now Colin Trevorrow's like, Dad, I'm sorry, and he's like, it's okay, we're just gonna hand it off to JJ. JJ will do it again. He'll just make another successful Star Wars movie. Dad! Hey.
Jurassic World only made $1.5 billion. We need a $2 billion son here.
You understand why we have to do this? We gotta hand it off to your older brother. Yeah. I'm sick of living in your shadow, JJ. I'm fucking sick of it.
JJ's so fucking cool. He's just sitting there leaning back. Whatever. I'll direct it, I guess.
Whatever, doofus. I want to see more original directors on Star Wars. But I also don't mind that they've brought back a director that has already proven himself, at least in my eyes, to be capable of handling this franchise.
I agree. I mean, it's the smartest pick. But I don't think it's the best pick. You know, I don't think we're going to see the best.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if I could, off the cuff here, I don't think I would be able to name somebody that I would be like, they're going to make the best Episode 9.
Guillermo del Toro.
I don't know. I like Guillermo del Toro. But I don't know if I would want him to do the last film in a trilogy, because there's so many elements of this universe that already don't feel very Del Toro, and for them to all of a sudden make them Del Toro in the last chapter would be odd.
I somewhat agree, but I don't totally agree, because I think that it kind of needs a different flair, because we're all going to be sick of Star Wars by the fifth Star Wars movie in 5 years. Oh my God. That you would want the fifth Star Wars film to feel very, very different and at least kind of draw you in a little bit, as opposed to a Spielberg wannabe making a Spielberg-esque Star Wars.
I think we're all hoping that what you've just described is Episode 8.
We're hoping.
And yeah, we're hoping.
I mean, we'll
hope for now. We'll think about it frequently.
Pray.
So I think this is good because it's somebody that I think is, because of his position and his relationship with Kathy, I think she's already going to be a bit more open to some of his ideas.
I agree. I think more I just would want somebody with a style. Like, you kind of say Guillermo del Toro's style doesn't fit, but I don't know what J.J. Abrams' style is.
I think there's something about the way that some of his movies are shot, Star Trek and Force Awakens in particular, something about them looks glamorous. Something about it looks like, you know, you look at it and you're like, something about it just pops and you're like, that's a Hollywood movie production, but it's not necessarily like a Michael Bay pop where it's, you know, the saturation is cranked up to ungodly levels and there's explosions happening every 15 seconds. There is something just a little surreal about JJ's movies.
But what does this mean for the larger picture here? Because this is a lot of things.
I wanted to say real quick, the last thing I have to say about this is that I like that they have the guy who is there for the conception of this new style of Star Wars and these new characters. Style is in quotes. Yeah, style is in quotes. Because that's what happened, that's what they tried at doing with Lord and Miller and having Larry Kasdan come in and shadow them, and then it just got worse and worse.
Probably because they were smart enough to be like, why is this old man following us around? Why is this strange old man who's made four movies following us around?
That's not what's in the script. That's not word for word. Fuck off, Larry.
God, this old man's cramping my style.
Larry, don't you understand? We can't fucking shoot until we fucking smoke our fucking blunt.
We it's can't be start after until it's 2 o'clock, all right? We all went at the same time.
Yeah.
Guys, it's got to be word for word. They did Empire word for word.
No, they fucking didn't, Larry.
What do you think he says? I know. It's a different line, Larry. It was improv. God.
I wrote Yoda. I wrote Yoda. Yoda's not in the fucking movie. And then Kathy Kennedy's like, guys, I think you need to put Yoda in the movie. What?
Even though Donald Glover would not be there, I just like the idea of Donald Glover making faces the entire time of just, what the fuck? What's going on?
Well, the camera guys have been rolling the whole time, so they whip pan over and Donald Glover looks into the camera. All right. Summary. Colin Trevorrow, eat a dick. JJ, you back, baby. You're back with Chris Terrio. Also, May, get that shit out of here. We're doing December 2019, baby. I'm into it. I'm happy. I think this is going to be better than it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you always had your doubts about Colin Trevorrow. So I guess
I have never liked that idea. Literally, since they announced it, it was Colin.
You can go back to the first episode of Rock. You were talking smack about Trevorrow all day. But this is an interesting thing because since this happened, I'm like, holy crap, this is just a disaster. If I'm Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, I'm like, this
what
is
what the fuck's going on with Star Wars? I thought this was a good idea.
If Bob Iger wasn't a 95-year-old man who barely has any understanding of what's going on around him, let alone in his company.
If Bob Iger wasn't just cryogenically frozen every night to make sure he stays alive for at least another couple of years, he would probably have some discrepancies with this.
I would be like, okay, maybe Kathleen Kennedy isn't the right person. Because Kathleen Kennedy was picked by George Lucas. So I want to quickly go over the curse.
Let's go over the Star Wars curse, which I, as I was looking at the news from today, I was like, December 20th, that's a week later than they usually do. They usually do them on the second week of December, the second Friday. And they usually do it on the second Friday of December. But in 2019, that weekend is home to Friday the 13th. Oh. So Kathy was like, all right, and we'll move it back to December. Let's put it back on that December, that second week of December date. What is that going to put us at? December 13th, Friday, December 13th. Oh, shit. Oh, shit, guys, we can't. What? If we put it out then, it's not going to make $3 billion. Guys, we can't
only make two and a half. What are we going to do if it only makes two and a half?
Robert, the Star Wars curse, which is something that has plagued the franchise since the very beginning, but has taken a new form since Disney purchased it in 2012.
It's always been cursed, but let's just keep in mind, this thing's only been going on for like 5 years.
Yes, Disney's had it for 5 years, and already it feels like my entire life.
I'll start it here at Force Awakens, where, you know, they get screenwriter Michael Arndt, who's going to write it with JJ.
Yes, and
after 8 months of work,
Toy Story 3 something. Fame.
Yes, he did something before that. That
he
was
he did
like,
a
incredible.
Very very popular, well received film.
Yes, you know, he did one small thing, one big thing equals Star Wars. he and JJ worked for 8 months. And then they don't have anything. And then Michael Arndt asks for 18 more months to work on a script. He asks for a year and a half to make more of a script. So he's gone. So that's like the first thing.
So this is what we in the business call the first firing. He had a script, but they didn't want to do that. He had this thing like a whole different set of characters, and they were like, we don't want to do that. So,
And then J.J. Abrams and Larry Kasdan are in a big war with Disney over the release date.
Yes,
which
was
May
2015. May
2015. And production for this movie went all the way until like October, like like October was like the last time they were still doing production on October 2015. So I guess I don't know how Lucasfilm expected it to make May 2015, but Abrams and Kasdan wanted May 2016. And then Bob Iger was cryogenically unfrozen
to make a
December 2015.
Yes.
And he went back to sleep. And that's pretty much everything with Force Awakens, all the backstage drama. But then right after,
we get into a little film called Star.
No, there's one more. You're forgetting the Boba Fett Bounty Hunter.
The Boba Fett film. But the Boba Fett film wasn't supposed to be until after Episode 8.
It wasn't supposed to be
Boba Fett
while,
was supposed to be the Han Solo slot.
Yes, but it was never. It was stopped happening because Josh Trank, who made Fantastic Four,
committed
which
social
supposed to make
suicide, basically by
by blaming the studio.
Which
studios love that.
Oh, yeah.
That makes the studio happier than somebody going on Twitter and blaming the studio. But regardless, Fantastic Four was a total disaster.
Oh, yes.
And then the project's put on hold, and we haven't heard anything about the Boba Fett film. So then we get to Rogue One. So that's already one director gone.
Yes, that is Josh Trank axed. And now, so that's a great way to start off the spinoff films. And now we get into... This little number here with Gareth Edwards, and it is, everybody had their own idea of what Rogue One was gonna be when it came out. The Lucasfilm and Kathy had their own idea, the audience had their own idea of what to expect from it, and Gareth Edwards had his own idea, and Bob Iger had his own idea, and the story group from Lucasfilm had their own idea, and Felicity Jones had her own idea. And so I think collectively there was about 47 different ideas, and they decided to go with all of them.
And they were all bad.
And they were all terrible.
So Gareth Edwards, they let Gareth Edwards do everything that he wants to do, and then they start getting the dailies.
Well,
they bring in writer. There's a writer, Tony Gilroy.
Tony Gilroy, yep.
Who begins the shadow directing process. Mm-hmm. He starts shadow directing while Gareth is still directing, but he's there.
And he's like, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't do that cool thing where you want to make it a dark war film. You want to just stick to one vision."
Okay, it wouldn't have been a good dark war film. I maintain that every single person had bad ideas for this.
Death Star Heist would have been cool, Robert. That would have been cool.
It was never nobody. It was just our idea.
I know.
Like, it was just the fans.
I know.
That.
I'm saying, Robert, what I'm saying is, why aren't we dressing up in a Kathy Kennedy skin suit and making the decisions? Come on. Why aren't we going to unfreeze Bob right now and forcing
the
him?
The second we get the power to direct a Star Wars film, Griffin, it will be only a matter of time until we're ousted. They begin reshoots.
Yes, with Tony Gilroy.
But they don't sell Gareth
Edwards. Yeah, Gareth Edwards is like, he's online and somebody sends him an article about Rogue One reshoots. And he's like, wait, I'm sorry, what? Did I forget the invite? Did I not get the invite?
No, corporate stooge Tony Gilroy took over. All
right, guys, who's fucking ready for a cool, we're going to shoot this badass crane scene for the Death Star.
No, that's not Tony Gilroy. Tony Gilroy is like, Kathy said that we need to have Darth Vader in the film, so let's, can we get Darth Vader? And we need to have, C-3PO and R2-D2, that's very market tested.
Does anybody know where they're at? Does anybody know, do we have to call Anthony? Does he have to be 3PO?
Who says action? Do I say action?
Yes, you say action. Okay. But also remember that, we have a director, Gareth Edwards, who, has said time and time again he wants to make a gritty war film. And it's at that point that Disney looks at themselves and go, oh, well, that means we should get the creator and writer of Community, Dan Harmon, to come in and inject some comedic beats into the film. And just right there is just, you know, that's what I call a mixed vision, Robert, because he's really great. I think he's done some really awesome stuff with Community and Rick and Morty. A lot of people call him a comedic genius, is what some people will say. But comedy is one thing that Rogue One did not need. amongst a shit ton of other things, but
just an ugly stew of everything in your pantry. Just put it all in.
It's like Lucasfilm went through their back catalog of contacts they hadn't called when looking for an episode 7 director, and they were like, just bring all these people in on this one.
What's the fucking guy who made Community? You want to bring the guy who made Community in?
Yeah!
This is what I want. Let's bring him into the mix.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Why not? You don't want to.
Like
you don't want to.
The cast of Always movies.
You don't want to pair him with Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the two guys that did two comedic films? No, put him on the drama.
No, Larry's got to do that.
I'm seeing something here, Robert. We may have stumbled on something. Someone sent the wrong things.
They just can't organize these three. They have an amazing bench of 40 of the greatest people in Hollywood today, and they're just like, who will work the worst together?
What's the absolute worst combo we could think of?
Yes, and then after the reshoots change the schedule, they lose their composer, Alexander Desplat,
who they hired because he was hired to do the last two Harry Potter movies, and...
So he's got a good ability
to... Yeah, to mimic John Williams, exactly. And so, and that's kind of a smart idea. And then they get Michael Giacchino, who comes in with just about a month to write all the music. And then they have, over a month to write all the music. And then they have to record all the music. And then they have to put all the music in. All in about like a 3 month span.
Michael Giacchino has to have funny names for all of the film, all of the songs too. So that takes about 2 weeks. So he's got funny names
for every track.
Song. And that's kind of the end of the disasters of Rouge One if you don't count
the film. You don't count the film itself and nobody involved in the film.
Which, please see our review. So then we have Old Last Jedi.
good old Last
which
Jedi.
Which has only two things. Basically, Rian Johnson says in an interview, he's like, there is no outline for episode 8 or episode 9 or the trilogies in general. There's just a couple loose ideas. They didn't give him anything to work with. Like, there's no master plan of a loose outline of what these things are going to be. They're making it up as they go. Which, to me, sounds like a disastrous idea to not outline things.
Hey, Robert?
Mm-hmm?
Have we heard what the title for episode 8 is referring to yet? Who is the Last Jedi? Is that Rey and Luke? Is it... Because it can be plural...
It can be plural. There's no such thing as Jedis. It could be Rey. It could be Luke and Rey. It could be Luke. It could be Kylo Ren. Or it could be Commander Snoke.
Princess Leia. It could be Finn. It could be BB-8.
It could be any of the Porgs.
All of the Porgs are the last Jedi, and their masters are the Lizard Nuns. And also, Luke Skywalker isn't a Jedi anymore, and not.
How much of the story of The Last Jedi was dictated to you, either by events in Force Awakens or by Lucasfilm? And he says, I had figured there would be a big map on the wall with the whole story laid out, and it was not that at all. I was basically given the script for episode 7. I got to watch the dailies of what JJ was doing, and it was like, where do we go from here?
Well, I guess there's two things to this, because, yeah, one, you want to plan ahead. You want to know where you're going. That's like lesson... For me, if I am writing something, especially a multi-billion-dollar franchise, I usually like to know...
When you're usually writing your multi-billion-dollar franchises. When you're writing...
When I'm outlining rocks, I like to know what we're going to start with and what we're going to end with. And so it's interesting that that's not there, because that's a... important thing,
especially when there's things set up like Rey's parents.
Well, I'm pretty sure that JJ came up with all those mysteries and did not have any of the answers actually ready. A little nerve-wracking knowing that there's not an outline, but also there's a little bit of comfort in that means Rian Johnson had total, like, he was just like, okay, then I guess I can just kind of come up with whatever I want to come up with, so long as I put cute creatures that everybody's going to buy the Pop Funkos for.
And then the script rewrites, delay the production from January 16 to February 2016.
A month? Is that it?
So.
That's like a month. Yeah, that's a healthy amount of time, I would say.
Well, here's where we get into real disaster town.
Oh, boy.
Han Solo, the Solo spin-off film.
Solo film.
So, there's a few things here, of course. At some point, Kasdan and Kennedy start to get dissatisfied with the project's tone and the directors and the fact that they don't use as many cameras as they want and that they're not doing word-for-word scripts and other things. So then Kasdan begins his process of shadow directing this film. He is sent out to shadow direct this film, at least according to Lord and Miller, which we can debate.
Yeah, they start the pre-production, and apparently there's stuff right off the bat, but Kathy doesn't say anything because she wants to see how they work first.
Yeah, this is the thing, is that like apparently there's all this stuff before, but nobody did anything about
which
it.
Which I buy. I believe that. I totally
Oh, no, I totally buy it, but it's also just sort of like weird that it was like, it's tons of drama, but they're like, well, we're not going to do anything about it. Lucasfilm replaces the editor Chris Dickens with Pietro Scalia? Judge Scalia's son.
Is this before or after?
This is like 2 days before.
Yes. So, yeah, because the dailies were coming back, and they were like, we don't know how to edit this, I guess. And so then they were like, actually, no, I think it's Larry goes out there, starts shadow directing, and then they're like, okay, wait, we have a mix, and also the editors are already halfway through editing the movie together right. with this style, and we don't want the style anymore, so we'll just fire him and start over.
Right, yeah. Yep, was whatever. And then, very shortly after, this weird thing happened. It wasn't mentioned much, but directors Phil Lord and Chris Miller are ousted.
They were...
After 4.5 months of filming, with only about 3 weeks left of shooting. They both, Lord Miller and Lucasfilm, cite their creative differences, and a few days later, notorious hack Ron Howard takes over as director. The production is briefly put on hold so Ron Howard can figure out how he's going to try and put this fire out.
What to do with half of a movie.
And then an acting coach is brought in for Han Solo actor Aiden Irontight. Got it. as well as some rumors say that one was brought in for Emilia Clarke as well. And then with the more production time, they lose actor Michael K. Williams, who is supposed to play a Lupita Nyong'o-esque alien creature.
And they have added Vision actor Paul Bettany.
I didn't put that on a disaster list because I thought that he was a fine fella.
I like Paul Bettany, and it's interesting to see. Okay. They are there's clearly, it's not even damage control, it's exactly what we thought, in that it's just complete retooling. They're taking characters out, they're bringing new ones in. It's crazy that it's still, unless they haven't reported it, but I'd imagine they want to say it as soon as they can, it's still going, they're still shooting this fucking movie.
They are. Ron Howard still tweets
about
it.
He still tweets about it. And he
tweets where he's like, yeah, here's a new actor.
Here's a new
I brought Warwick Davis in, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Warwick is back. I wonder if Ewoks are back. I hope they are.
I don't. I think
maybe they have him playing a Porg now, a motion capture Porg.
The father Porg in the Han Solo film, I guess. I don't know.
And now here we are in the third week of September.
Episode 9
drama now. And
well, there's huge drama, of course, is the biggest thing that destroyed this film was Carrie Fisher dying.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, I think we've touched on that, in that episode 9 was in trouble when she passed away.
Right.
And so, of course, they had Colin Trevorrow working on this movie for, like, he knew he was directing Star Wars 9 for, I think, like,
before
a year and a half.
Seven
yeah,
out.
Yeah. A while. So he's working on the movie in some aspect. In some regard, he's working on the movie. Carrie Fisher passes away, and they're like, well, shit, we have to start over.
She was probably a big part of the movie.
It was said that she was going to have a very large role in episode 9.
It was going to be her focus was that episode.
And so January, they start fresh. And then from there, that's when it just all spirals. And because Kathy is running around at the end of the year, she's running around with Rogue One, and then she's looking at Episode 8, and then there's all the drama with the Han Solo movie, and then when she finally turns back around to look at Episode 9, she's like, wait, you've had how many writers come in? Who did you hire to write the script? The guy from Cursed Child? That thing that almost nobody likes?
Well, here's the big thing is that Rian Johnson says he's not involved in any way in Episode 9. There was supposed to be a passing of the torch.
Initially, it was reported that he was writing Episode 9 and Trevorrow was directing, and that was the one saving grace of 9 at that point. And now...
It was like supposed to be J.J. Abrams would pass the torch, would pass the baton, and he'd work with Episode 8, and then Johnson would work with Trevorrow for Episode 9.
Which is a good structure. That is a, that's a solid way to do
it. That makes sense. Yeah. If there was an outline, which... Basically, the directors have no idea what the next one's going to be. But Johnson was like, nope, I'm really not. Lucasfilm is unsatisfied with the script, so they bring in, of course, Jack Thorne, legendary creator of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And then Colin Trevorrow's film, Book of Henry, is destroyed by critics and bombs in theaters. And then, coincidentally, just a few weeks later, Trevorrow is ousted as director and replaced by J.J. Abrams. And then all the writers are gone.
All the writers are gone, and they're bringing in a fresh face to the Star Wars universe, Chris Terrio.
I think that this is a 50-50, is that it's a 50-50 shot that he's a good writer, a 50-50 shot that he's a bad writer. Because Argo is very good, but Dawn of Justice was very bad.
I think because he's co-writing it with JJ is why I have some faith, because if he has JJ sitting next to him saying, no, that's not good, that's not how it works, we can't do it that way, I think that is good enough, and then he can just write just some interesting scenes that he, like he did for Argo. I agree. It is a coin toss, but at this point, the
better than Colin Trevorrow and the guy who wrote Cursed Child.
Yes. So at this point, we just need to count our blessings, I guess.
And then the film finally is pushed back to December of 2019.
Yes. So that that's the exhaustive history of Disney owning Star Wars. Here we are. We are 3 months out. We are just billowing towards Episode 8. There's probably going to be some new trailer bullshit or whatever about that soon. Now, Robert, I did some exhaustive outlining of Rocks yesterday, and I realized this is actually our last news update until the beginning of November.
Well, hopefully, as long as there's no drama.
Exactly. And so you never know. You never know when it comes to Lucasfilm. Maybe they'll fire Kathy will fire Kathy next. I don't know.
I think Kathy is going to get the axe soon.
Oh, I think she'll step down after Episode 9. Right. So this, everybody, is the emergency episode of Jedi Rocks. We had to cover all of this. We had to get on top of this, and of course, the episode of Rocks that was supposed to come out this week is about a month old, so of course we're not covering this in that one, but still check out episode 17. I think I'm gonna upload them at the same time, so it'll be episode 17 is its own thing, and this is its own thing. And so...
It's an anthology.
This is our own little breaking news segment, Jedi Rocks exclusive. You heard it here first, definitely not in the Star Wars Twitter. Check out episode 17. It's a lot of fun. We do a fun Wikipedia breakdown, and also we review Star Wars Forces of Destiny, which is one of my favorite reviews we've done. And next, Robert, actually, I've made some tweaks to the schedule. We're going to push the New Hope review off 1 week.
December 2018.
I'm announcing a new host for Jedi Rocks. And we are actually going to insert a Jedi Rocks story at the end of this month that revolves around the events that have happened in the past 2 weeks. So look forward to that, ladies and gentlemen.
Can we talk about
Not this? Yet, Robert. I will tell you in a minute. Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you enjoyed this, check out all of the other episodes and look forward to our original trilogy reviews coming soon. You can check us out on a whole bunch of places, YouTube, iTunes, all that jazz. Email us at JediRocksPod@gmail.com. Find us on all our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, @JediRocksPod. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Jedi Rocks.